Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. And today we're talking about the dreaded backtracking.
Backtracking.
I don't know totally what that means, but there you go.
It's when a GM takes back something they did for various reasons, right?
Also, a player might want to do it.
Sometimes players argue something that shouldn't happen. Usually their character dies is a very important part of their argument.
You killed my character. That's not what I meant.
And I think that's an important part of role-playing is that people get really attached to their characters.
I was reading about this and some guy said, the GM backtracks after he kills the players. And the response was, if the GM is killing the players and not the characters, he has bigger problems.
I did see that. That's pretty funny. Not we're talking about the characters, not the players. Yes. I make that mistake too. I'll save characters when I mean players, and I'll say players, especially in this podcast, when I mean characters. So that does happen when GMs feel they accidentally killed a player. It's as if you can say they accidentally killed a player. Player. See, I did it again. A character in a role-playing game. And they feel bad about it, maybe.
Well,
Or the player makes them feel bad about it, right?
Well, the player might make them feel bad about their character dying. Also, a lot of times, I think this goes into consequences of player actions or what happens to their character. My friend Mike is big on this.
Yeah, he's been on that kick for a while. But you're right. I think when players do something, there should be a consequence to their actions, whether it's for good or bad, whether it's good for their character or bad for their character. So what are the reasons GMs might want to backtrack? One is they kill the character and
the player's very upset.
The player's very upset, right? That could do it. Another reason is if they made a mistake and caused the death of a character or caused the death of the whole party or a substantial number in the group in the game.
If the GM made the mistake.
Right. Especially a rule mistake where something shouldn't have happened.
Right. I can see that one. See, that's the only time that I think it's okay is if the GM did something wrong. I mean, it's okay if you really want to do it, but it kind of it makes the game. I've been in games where that has happened. Oh, you didn't really want to do that. Okay, well, let's do it again.
Well, I'm talking more like the GM makes a rule mistake. Like, I can't think of the only one that I saw, which seems very unlikely, is in a battle with a monster, and the monster, the GM reads that the monster does 12d6 when it should have been 66. So stuff like that. Or he does has a special power or has an ability that the monster doesn't have, or a spell isn't quite thrown right or isn't adjudicated right. So I can understand the GM wanting to change that. Another time is when the adventure takes a turn that the GM really didn't envision, or it takes, whether it's a published adventure or one of his own making, that the adventure takes this weird turn that for the GM, they can't follow or they can't go from there. They're like, okay, that's going a completely different direction than I was thinking about. And so they change something, they backtrack something, right, to put them back on track. This sounds like a little bit railroady stuff, but maybe not railroady in the sense that maybe he's letting them do whatever they want, but the direction that they go, the adventure's not that way, or it's not going to happen. I know you have this adventure just magically turns in front of you no matter which direction you go, but let's say I can't figure out exactly what situation, but there's situations when a GM may feel that if they don't backtrack, the adventure is going to go in a direction they don't want to.
I don't think I've ever experienced that.
Well, I'm thinking
as a player. I mean, I've never
as a player. Do that. How do you know? Because the GM.
Well, if he stops the game and goes, "Okay, we're not going to do this. Let's go back to here. Let's start over."
Yeah, I guess that has never happened. But I don't usually GM that way because I usually have like a very open world, and the players can do whatever they want, even if I'm running a published adventure. But with me and published adventures, I like the idea of published adventures because they give me something to start off with. like a framework, and that's what I turn it into. I turn it into a framework where the players can do anything they want, and I'm not going to stick to whatever the adventure says this should happen in this order. And a lot of adventures are not being written that way anymore, but in the old days even, I used to just use the ideas of the adventure and then go from there. So in that sense, I usually didn't work myself into that kind of corner where I'm like, oh man, I don't know what to do next. And sometimes the GM will stop and say, well, let's stop here. And or if they're smart, they'll tell their group, hey, I can't figure out where you guys are going to go in and how to continue the adventure. So let's just stop here. Let me work on it and then come back to this part of the game. But a lot of GMs, you know, when they're put in a corner like that, they'll just say, well, how about if you didn't kill that character, right? Or you didn't kill that NPC because it's an important NPC for sometime later. And they feel as a GM that they can't let that NPC die. Like when we were talking about the other day, Middle Earth, and I had Gollum run around the area the players were. Now he's a character that later on it has a very important part in The Lord of the Rings. This is a good 70 years before. And though I didn't want Gollum to be captured by the players' characters, I think it was totally possible that they might. Luckily, the players' characters were able to get into a fight with who had him captive, and Gollum escapes. A little sneaky bastard that he is. So in that sense, I didn't have to, you know, retcon Gollum being captured. Because then what would happen if they got captured Gollum? You know, the players might could try to convince each other to kill this character because he's a bad guy. Even though players in the One Ring, they are very moral characters. So anything that they do that is not along their morality would cause them to lose hope and get darkness points or go into shadow. So that would be very difficult to for characters to do because, you know, if he's captured, like one of the things that gives you shadow is if you kill an unarmed opponent or you kill a prisoner and stuff like that. So there's ways to mitigate. That game really mitigates the idea of doing evil things because you definitely don't want any shadow or lose your hope in that game.
I would say that if your characters walk a different way than you're planning on them going,
yes,
you could always just say something like, you can go this way, but the adventure is in a different direction.
Right. Right. You could be honest with them. And I think that'll work.
And that way everybody is on the same page and you're not like trying to get them to do something that they don't want to do.
Right. And another thing is that if you backtrack too much, I don't know about you, but I would start having
confusion.
Well, that's a C word. Yes, confusion. But I would also have no confidence in the game this guy's running because at any time he goes, oh, you know what? Let's forget that thing happened. Let's say this happened, and you're like, well, are we playing a game or what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Are we really playing a role playing game or are we supposed to be following this script that you got going on?
Well, I've never really experienced what you're talking about, but mostly the backtracking I've experienced is when the player goes, I'm going to do this, or my character does this. And then the GM goes, are you sure you want to do that? And they go, yes. Oh, okay, well, you've just been eaten by the dragon. And then the player goes, oh, I didn't really want to do that.
That's not what I meant.
So... that wasn't what I thought would happen. I changed my mind. And then the GM goes, okay.
All right. Yeah, and I totally understand that. As a GM, you really don't want to make people upset. You don't want to make them mad and other things. But it's like, I can't imagine. A few people do that constant. Oh, hold on. I changed my mind. After they see the results of the dice,
right?
Especially after they see the results of the dice, then you're like, then as a GM, you're like, well, maybe on little things, I don't even know. I mean, I would say, well, you know, you got to live with the consequences that you decide to do. And just because you saw the results of the dice and you don't think that's favorable to you or your character, I think we should still continue to do what the dice laid out for us and then go from there.
Well, and you can always have their friends cut them out of whatever it was they got swallowed by. A dragon might be a little hard, but
I think my character did get swallowed by a
sea monster.
It was big serpent, dragon serpent thing in Dragonbane.
And you cut yourself out.
Yes, I was able to do that because, yeah, inside from the inside, the dragon, let's say it looked like a dragon, a little snake-like, but still dragonish. I didn't have any armor, so yeah. When I was doing damage, I was doing all damage, because in Dragonbane, armor reduces the amount of damage you take.
I think they specifically put that in there for that monster, so that, because it's easy to get swallowed by that monster.
Yes.
So then you can.
I don't know how it worked. I think it's one of its attack abilities, and if it does it, it does it. It just swallows you.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disconcerting.
And even when Felipe was doing that, he goes, okay, which number do you want? Look, we could roll that dice again. And you're like, just do whatever it's going to do.
Yeah, I guess he was trying to.
He wasn't trying to backtrack. He was just like, oh, this isn't good, right? Because anytime you have a table and you have to roll stuff, that's when people's horses die and crap like that, right?
Yes. Well, let the chips follow as they may, somebody said.
So if you decide to do some, if a player decides that their character's going to do something and it's a bad outcome, it doesn't necessarily mean they die, right? You could say they wanted to do some great feat. Okay, well, you didn't succeed at that. You've fallen down and you're knocked out for two rounds, right?
Right.
And then instead, you don't have to backtrack it. You can go with what happened because there's consequences to what you do, right?
Right.
And then just go from there.
Yeah. One of the things about this discussion is that along with backtracking, there's consequences, right? There's consequences for your actions. And if there's no consequences for your actions, you know, what are we really playing? I mean, we're playing just happy-go-lucky, I don't know, play tiddlywinks where nobody gets hurt. You know, that idea. And I don't necessarily think that's what a role-playing game should consist of. I'm sure if you play some games, well, no, every RPG there has to be consequences for what your character does.
Well, it's just like it's just like watching a movie, right? We just watched the latest Indiana Jones movie,
yes.
And Indiana Jones always gets stuck in a cave or a pit with snakes or bugs, right? He hates them.
Yes.
And it's just something you have to go through to get to the other side. Most heroes, and whether they're superheroes or action heroes or James Bond, there's always that place in the movie where they do something. It doesn't turn out the right way. They get captured or whatever, or somebody dies. And
yes.
Then it's just the meaning behind what happens next, right?
Right.
What they're going to do.
It gives weight to the actions of the character.
Yeah.
Along with consequences, which is very important in any role-playing game, there's also player agency, right? If the player is doing stuff and you're like, and you as a GM, you say, well, oh, your character is knocked out or whatever, turned to stone because of their actions. You're like, well, you know what? That didn't happen. You're taking away the player's agency from
doing stupid things.
Doing dumb. No, maybe it was a heroic thing, or maybe it was something that was a good idea, but the dice had different ideas, yeah, or different thoughts on the matter, and said, no, we're not going to go with you are really successful in this endeavor. You failed, and you failed miserably. And so that is when sometimes the adventure or the role playing gets really interesting, when other people are like, whoa, this is happening to George. And we have to get them out of it.
Which is what I found in almost every role-playing game. All the other characters are going to swoop in to save you, to save the day.
Because, yeah, the rally, right?
Because that's what happens, right? In real life. And
hope in real life.
Yeah,
your friends come up and save you. Yes, and especially in a role-playing game where that's why you are in a party. You're not playing a solo RPG with, go to this page, follow along type of stuff. You're playing with a group of people who you, as a member of that group, either depend on each other and hopefully get along with each other and have fun. And part of that fun is when somebody fails, you go and help them. Or
you want to have a party, because right before we played right before I played Call of Cthulhu for the first time, Shannon had me
had
me redo this solo adventure that they suggest you do.
Was it Dying Light or something?
I don't remember what it was called, but it was you basically read a book and it's choose your own adventure kind of book. And it was horrible because you're by yourself, right? So no choices were good and you died no matter what you did.
No choices were good.
And I was like, that's why you have a party when you're playing a role-playing game, because it was an adventure to kind of show you what Call of Cthulhu was and what, you know, there's not always good choices. You're going to get burned up at the end one way or the other.
That sounds horrible. I remember you doing it and you thought it was okay, but at the same time you were like, eh, because you kept dying.
Yeah.
Well, it prepares you for Call of Cthulhu, I guess, in a certain sense. So, well, what I was talking about player agency is that sometimes players want that dramatic action, right? That dramatic situation. And they know that it could go either way.
Right.
And sometimes it's the other players that get shocked or worried or upset.
Yeah.
Like when...
when Jason decided to change characters in the middle of a game.
And he didn't want to play I forget what character he was. Was he a barbarian?
I think so.
And he wanted to switch characters. And I go, well, how do you want to do it? Do you just want to like leave or do you want to have like some dramatic situation? And he goes, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I want to go down with a bang, literally. And I'm like, oh, I got a great idea from where the game was going. So you guys were playing Storm King's Thunder. And this is where a Zeppelin comes in. And it was a perfect situation. They get attacked by these Githyanki on riding things. And and at one point, the ship that the players are on is going to get suicide bombed by one of these things. He's carrying this big old huge backpack that has a fuse going a la, you know, Roadrunner style. Coyote and Roadrunner. And the player, you know, I just kind of like winked. I forget what the signal was. It's just like, I went, you know, like, I just like pointed at him and I go, and I winked or something. And he goes, oh. And I could see the recognition. Oh, this is it. So I go, so what are you going to do? I go, it looks like he's just going to jump off and go on a ship. Jason, he goes, my character's going to jump at him and midair hug him and push him away from the ship, the airship. And I go, okay. And so I met him roll. And it was in the, you know, he was real, everybody's real, what is it, the competent. Was this 5th edition? It was 5th edition.
Yeah.
So everybody's super confident. They're like 8th, 6th, 7th, 8th level by this time.
I don't think we were quite that, but
not
maybe.
Not that high?
Maybe.
You guys
are at least 5th.
At least 5th. So yeah, really good. So that so he succeeds pretty easily, and he's a strong character, so he did his athletics throw roll and everything. And then everybody's listening, and then they're like, oh, we gotta, how are we gonna save him?
Well, that's not true, because Jason had told some people what was gonna happen.
Well, yes.
And so those people were like, oh. And then Kathy and Chris were like, oh my God, we gotta save him. What are we gonna do? And it was a mixed table.
Yes. And I told him not to tell anybody. But for some reason, he told. I think it would have.
It was like Steven, the boys that.
I kind of understand why he told them, because you know they're just like, oh, this is a great idea. Do anything I think. Oh, that'd be cool, right? But I always thought that just that honest reaction from the table would have been classic, and I wish I would have like videotaped it because it would have been really cool. But we didn't.
Well, Kathy was like having a conniption fit, going, okay, when he hits the ground, if he lands on top of the creature, it's not gonna do very much damage.
Right.
And I'm like going, he jumped out of a Zeppelin. He was really high in the air. I think he's gonna do some damage.
Yeah,
I don't think he's gonna make it. And Chris is all, what could we do? We could take the ship down to get him. And the other people at the table are, no, I think he's going to die.
Well, what happened was, remember, he had tackled some guy who had a bomb.
Right.
So then he goes, oh, and so they're having this conversation as he's falling. Maybe somebody could reach him with a magic spell, blah, blah, blah. So they're having that conversation. And then I was like, incredulous, right, at that point. And to punctuate the fact that
wasn't going to happen.
This character was going to actually die, not only from the fall, from the bomb that he was hugging. I go, well, you see him falling, and you can't really tell how far from the ground he is, but right before he hits the ground, boom, there's a big explosion that rattles even your airship from below. And they're like, all look at each other, goes, we can find parts of his body and resurrect them. I'm like, the captain says, no, we don't have time for that. And so I think they actually did try it. They did land.
Mm-mm.
No? And go look for his body?
No, they didn't, because then there was a, for some reason, we had to search.
Well, you're on a time limit. Yeah. I think at some time.
Well, we were still being attacked.
So that would be like me saying, like, if we hadn't planned that out, right? Even if he didn't want to die, but he wanted to make that sacrifice, right? He basically saved the ship, which saved all the other characters. Because he goes, what's on his back? I go, a ton of explosives. And that would have been a very interesting...
Total party kill?
No, definitely. But it would have been an interesting moral dilemma for that player, character, to figure out what to do in that situation. I know we had planned out that was his exit, his grand exit. And I wanted it to be glorious, right? I wanted him to, like... die of a pinprick and got a disease and he dies. So I wanted it to be memorable, and I think he liked the idea of going down with a bang.
Well, that's why you play D&D, right?
No pun intended. Yes, you play D&D to have those big exciting moments. And in this case, you know, it was sort of planned, you know, that he was going to die and he wanted to play another character. But it was just a discussion between me and him. Unfortunately, he included Steve and the boys, so they didn't know about it. And I think Augustine knew about it.
Probably, because the boys tell each other everything most of the time.
Yeah, it was Kathy and Chris that were really upset about it. I kind of had to let it out of the bag. That it's okay. He's got another character waiting to come in. I think. I don't remember. Anyway, I think in that sense, even if it wasn't pre-planned, and I gave the
character. I think I told Kathy, I go, look at Jason. He doesn't look upset. There's something going on. To which she looked at him and goes,
did you know?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I didn't tell you either. I think that's what I was at. Anyway.
Although I thought it was a very odd sequence of events and was like looking at people trying to read the table.
Yeah, half the table's going.
Well, Saul and Jason don't seem upset about this, so something's going on.
But I think anytime you can, as a GM, put those moments in a game where players have to do that, decide, what does he call it, the ultimate sacrifice, right?
Some GMs like that more than others.
I thought it was an interesting idea to put before a character.
No, I mean, some GMs really like that. Like, all their games, someone has to sacrifice themselves.
Yeah, you're right. There is that GM.
It's a style, I guess.
But I think
usually it really, one shots, though.
Yes, true.
Well, to make the game exciting, I could see that, like, that was a very exciting game for whether they knew or they didn't know, right?
Right.
And I think that if a GM and a player, like if a player goes, well, I'd like to play a different character, that's a perfect time to do something like that, right?
Yes.
Put in something that's going to thrill the players in one way. I mean, it might scare them, like, you know, oh my God, he's going to die. But that's horrible. His character's going to die, right?
Well, yes, true.
And yet it's also your sacrifice thing to save the party or whatever.
Right. Another thing is that if the reasoning for that event to happen wasn't that he wanted to change characters, and I just, me as a GM, put that in for any player to encounter, that's when their survival and wanting to save the party kick in, right? They kind of come up with an idea. How can I save the boat from sinking or falling out of the sky and killing everybody and still save myself? So that's when you could come up with something, right?
You know, a
ship, even an airship, has ropes dangling everywhere.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
He could have grabbed the rope and done like a
kick.
The double kick to the midsection.
Yes, yes.
And which would have been like an attack, and then he would use his strength to see how far away he could have pushed this dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a viable option for anybody. And, you know, maybe he doesn't kick him far enough and it damages the ship, which causes the ship to have to go down safely, or he ultimately fails and you got to figure out how you're going to prevent this ship from falling out of the sky really fast. So everything has consequences, right? And the player actions and stuff like that. And I think that's what matters in a role-playing game, is when players see the actions that their characters do and see, oh, yeah, that turned out really good. Or even if it's a bad action or a bad result, they're like, oh, that sucked. But we were able to overcome it with the help of everybody around you.
Right. I think that, backtracking and metagaming go hand in hand, right?
Whoa.
The idea that the players go, okay, or the character goes, I want my player to do this. And then when they realize that that's not a good idea, that's a metagaming thing, right? Oh, that's not a good idea. That's going to... I mean, maybe the player character would realize it, but the player definitely realizes it, right? Especially when the GM goes, are you sure you want to do that? That's when you should always go, no, let me think about it.
Oh, can we take a... I got to go back.
I need a five-minute break. I'm really thirsty.
Yeah, I think GMs really don't want their characters to die. For the most part, I think. There are some...
GMs that don't care.
Really don't care. And I think a lot of people who play games, role-playing games, a lot of them get really attached to their characters. Some people aren't that way. They don't get attached to their characters. They can, that's just another... I'll roll up another one, no problem. You know, that's not a big deal. I'm somewhat going down away from really caring about my characters dying. You know what I mean? I mean, I used to like really like, oh, don't kill my character. And now it's like, oh, if my character... I don't really... It doesn't matter if my character dies, but I certainly don't want a character to die because...
Something stupid?
Of a random table.
Yeah.
Something really dumb, what I consider dumb, or something totally out of the blue. If I do something and it causes me to die, that's something like my character when I walked away from the group in the catacombs wherever we were, and I get double whammied by these giant
skeletons.
The giant skeletons who both critted on me and almost killed me. I mean, I think you got me down to like 5 hit points.
Yeah.
In two separate attacks, but in one attack scene. And because I was dumb, I'm going off on myself, going and I just get whumped on. I think you got me within like 5 hit points of me dying.
So yeah, the party jumped in to save you.
And that's what it is, right? Exactly. I was like able to heal myself. I was like 10th level paladin, so boom, I was able to heal myself 50 points like right away. But even then, if they couldn't get to me right away,
they would have hit you. They probably would have had good hits.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But like you said,
it's hard to say.
They got lucky because they critted on me. Both of them, each of them, and did just...
That's why you don't split the party.
Astronomical amount of damage. But if I would have passed away, or my character would have died, I would have said, oh, well, that's...
I guess I'll have to roll up another character, because that wasn't a smart choice.
But I wouldn't want the GM to say, oh, you know what? Oh,
let's go back.
Let's go back. If you had killed...
And I wouldn't have said that.
If you had killed my character... Oh, let's go back.
I believe I said, are you sure you want to go off by yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember that at all. I don't remember that warning, Miss Jolene. It's been a while since we played that game. But yeah, so the thing is that me as a mature player now, in more ways than one, I can understand when I make a decision and the decision is a bad decision and the consequences are bad because I do something dumb, like go off by myself. I understand, well, I run the risk. I mean, I'm living in a dangerous world. There's bad things in this. Was it a house? I think it was. Was it underground?
It was a catacomb or something.
It was a catacomb, yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, I can take care of myself. And obviously, I almost couldn't. But I would have been okay with dying because I was like, whoa, that really cements, oh, this is dangerous. And then that would have been fine. I think it would have been bad idea for you to backtrack and say, oh, you know what? He didn't crit. He just did normal damage.
Well, there would have been no way I could have backtracked anyway because I believe Ian was running the monsters for me, and I wasn't even rolling them. So the boys were like, okay, he's hurt. We got to go. No, Ian was like, it's okay. And they're all running that way.
He can roll up another character. But, you know, it's very difficult to die in 5th edition. Three deaths. Saved,
not only that, blah, but blah, blah. The boys were all incredibly powerful. And Steve also was a healer, I believe. So
a cleric?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think she has to take that spell.
I have no idea. Steve usually takes a healing spell.
Yeah. Oh, but if I would have died, that's different. You can't heal from death.
So. But it wasn't backtracked. It was
yeah, they just... got to me in time, and I lived. I wasn't killed.
Which is usually what happens, right, in games. The
yeah.
Other I mean, players usually yes. get to the person who...
Hopefully, yeah. 9 times out of 10. I don't know if that's a real...
And it is a impetus of what happens after that, right?
Right.
Whatever the player decides to do for their character, good, bad, or ugly, let them do it. Maybe warn them, but then see what happens. You shouldn't just say, oh, I'm not really one for fudging the dice or anything, but if there's a table, go with a different line on the table than, oh, you're dead permanently. There's no resurrection, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So I think there's all kinds of reasons that GMs might want to backtrack. I think what it does do is it makes you inconsistent. It causes players to lose agency if they want to explore that, what is it, of not possibly not being successful or knowing the consequences of if I do this, there's a chance that I might get seriously injured or my character might die. So I think doing that and having consequences for your actions all kind of make good, solid argument for not doing it, right? And not doing it just because player character dies or it's really has a bad result because of the way the dice were rolled or how the dice landed. I know this, you really don't want to kill off characters. You don't want to think it's a bad experience, but I think it does happen.
Before we end this, I just want to say that when you play games like if you play Shadowrun, a lot of times there's a session where it's all planning for what is going to happen.
Yes.
Because you're going to do, it's like a heist, well, if you think about a heist game, right? You're going to break into this building, you're trying to get to whatever it is, and you have to figure out all of the different things that could happen. And so you make these grand plans about what is going to happen. And usually the GM gives you this time because that's part of it, the prep, right? And then when you actually get to the implementation of your plan, it doesn't always work out the way you think it will, right? So you can plan and do everything, but those dice rolls or the dice rolls of the monsters or whatever you want to call them, the other people, may come in differently than what you think, right?
Oh,
and,
totally.
And so you have this grand plan that you're doing and it's not always going to work out right, but you just have to improvise at that time.
Exactly. I think that is what role-playing is all about. Because if everything went to plan...
It might not be as fun or as interesting.
Or as interesting. Because, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it might be a precursor to another run in Shadowrun.
Right.
Where everything goes out really well. At least the player's thinking of it. But something happened, like maybe they botched a roll. But the GM goes, oh, okay. Yeah, you didn't set off the alarm, and though they may question it, there's always that would be something that like could cause something else later. Like after the run, everybody's happy, and then somebody gets a call saying,
"I know that you did this,
right?" Or something, right?
I need you to bring that to me now.
You know, or something happens, that along those lines, and then you are maybe things didn't go as perfectly as you thought.
Well, and yeah, that happens a lot in Shadowrun. So, but that can happen in all games, right?
That's true.
Just what makes the role playing interesting.
Right.
Having letting the players have their characters do what they want them to, and just suffering whatever consequences those are. And it's usually not death. It's usually just something weird happens,
right,
or you didn't succeed.
It just makes it harder, or something like that. And I think that as a GM, that's when, like I've mentioned in the past, that's when I have the most fun, is when things don't go as I think they would go.
Right.
Like I even say all the time that when I make an adventure, when I run an adventure, I have absolutely no pre-existing idea of how the adventure is going to go. I give them a situation and to solve, and let them have at it. Oh, sure, there's ideas that I have. Oh, they could do this, they do it this way. Especially like when I ran Blade Runner, they give you all kinds of things to do or handouts to give out. But I think I've mentioned it, I didn't like the way the game, the adventure, the way it was structured. I didn't think it was a big enough decision for the characters to make, or hard enough decision, even though it was pretty tough. I wanted something a little bit more
moral punchy. Dilemmas.
More punchy, yeah. Right? More, yes, more a bigger moral dilemma, and there was some parts where I'm like, they ask a really good question. I'm like, and I had made a point about something in the pictures, and then I just kind of said something like just mundanely, right? And they grabbed that, and then like they were like, they just took something I said and they just like extrapolated, right? And then what they extrapolated was something totally like evil, sinister stuff. And they were pissed off about this, what was seemingly something I just said. Like,
right.
It's just a way of tracking pictures, right?
Well, that's how players are, right?
Yes.
They read stuff into what you say, whether you meant to say something, you didn't even mean what they thought.
Yeah, it was just fluff to me, right?
Right.
But to them, all of a sudden, well, if this is happening, this happened. And then I'm like, oh, my God.
And then you just got to go with it because they're going to go with it.
Well, they went, yeah, exactly.
No matter what you say.
They went full tilt. And I'm like, so they go, we got to kill these MFers.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, which is the exact situation I wanted, right? I wanted them mad. I wanted them to think that these people were terrible and deserved to die, right? But that was not how they got to that point was like something totally mundane. And I think that's what is so fun about role-playing games is that you are going back and forth, telling each other what you're doing and you're reacting to their actions and going back and forth. And everybody's entertained that way.
Yeah.
Yes. So very, very, very cool. Give your players a little trust and let them face the consequences of their actions and their decisions, and see what kind of fun and mischief results from that.
There you go. Good luck. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And you have a good day.